This is Ozarks at Large. COVID-19 vaccination rates in Arkansas are low, and in an effort to encourage the safety and trust in the vaccines, federal officials are calling on clergy and religious leaders to have meaningful conversations with their congregations. Ozarks at Large's Matthew Moore spoke to leaders from across Northwest Arkansas and the Arkansas River Valley about how they're sharing the good news of vaccines inside their communities.
On April 1st, Vice President Kamala Harris sat in front of a massive projector screen filled with hundreds of little squares, which would become the newly formed COVID-19 Community Core.
People of our country look to leaders like you, and they have been looking to you. They have been looking in your eyes, searching to believe that there should be a reason to have hope. They have been looking in your eyes and looking to you to give them some confidence that we can get through this and give them a sense of knowing that they are not alone. This is what you all have been doing.
One segment of the Community Core members were clergy and religious leaders. With vaccination rates extremely low in Arkansas and cases and deaths on the rise, it's clear we need as many trusted community leaders as we can get, encouraging folks to get the vaccine. Christianity may be the dominant faith tradition in Arkansas, but it's not the only one. And religious leaders of many traditions are actively promoting the safety and necessity for these vaccines. One of those leaders is Abdullah Isalki, the imam for the Islamic Center of Northwest Arkansas.
Of course, we talked about vaccinations, and when the vaccination became available, we hoped, and I personally hoped and prayed, and I urged people to go and get vaccinated, and especially our community member. Go get vaccinated.
Isalki says that in their religious practice, they trust science, and the idea of vaccinations is not in conflict with the Muslim faith. Traditionally, prayers are done in close quarters, but due to COVID, they have been done either at home or with very limited attendance in their mosque. If the vaccine rate starts going up and the infection rate starts going down, Isalki says it will mean they can go back to the more traditional way of worshiping together.
You know, the benefit at least is to resume our normal gathering, our normal practices, which is foot to foot, shoulder to shoulder.
Isalki is vaccinated and says one of the things he looks forward to with the new normal of a post-pandemic worship experience is the time of community before and after service.
Before this pandemic hit, we all group, youth and members and senior citizens all get together for tea and just for social gathering. And they share, and that's their favorite moment, where they share practices, share experiences, ask about each other. And they live like family. And that's not there anymore because people are worried, fear, and mask on and all that. So once they pray, they leave. And that's not something good to see. And I wonder if we can get everyone vaccinated. That's also part of our, masjid activity where everyone, not only use that facility as prayer, but also the social gathering, social network, and exchange experiences and concerns. And it's a moment where everyone love and favor.
Na Ha is the pastor of the Vietnamese Gospel Baptist Church in Fort Smith, and he has been frustrated that a few of his brethren in the Southern Baptist Convention have been discouraging their congregations from getting the vaccine.
It's more different from the majority of the Baptist churches, and I would be cautious about that. And also, I follow science. I'm not following any religious leaders as well as the political leader. As none.
Ha says he follows science, not politicians. He also says he has had a few of his congregants who have been influenced by some of the politicians, both former and current, who have been spreading misinformation.
And I would sit down with them and patient and just, share with them and see what they need. And and guide him, go get vaccine and so on.
Ha serves a predominantly Vietnamese congregation, many of whom are immigrants to America and whose first language is not English. While most of the church members were willing and ready to get vaccinated, one of the barriers for them was language. Ha says that if someone wanted to go get the vaccine but was nervous about being able to communicate, he was happy to assist.
I offer them, I will take them, or I will get appointments or whatever. When they get vaccine, they not only save themselves, they save their family, they save the church, and they save the community, and they save the other people's life.
Ryan Pfeiffer is the senior minister at First Christian Church in Fayetteville, and he says COVID has had a drastic impact on his church.
We immediately shifted to online only, and before that, we had not done an online service. So the staff had to come together very quickly and figure out how to do that and get the equipment necessary to make that happen. But end of March of 2020, we closed our sanctuary. And only we're doing online services for quite some time.
Did you hear any pushback from your congregation about maybe you were taking things too far, maybe you were doing things too drastically? Did you hear any pushback from any members of your community?
Yes, I got pushback on both ends. I got pushback that we weren't taking it seriously enough and that we needed to wait a lot longer before we even offered an outdoor service. And mind you, our outdoor service and our indoor services are still requiring masks. And so we were being very cautious. We were spreading people out. Even outside, we had people really far apart. But there were some who were saying, this is crazy. I can't believe we're even offering this. And then I had others who felt like we shouldn't have shut the church down ever at all and kept doing in-sanctuary service without masks.
Hmm. How do you respond to such a wide range of responses from folks? I mean, I'm sure that's probably the number one line in your job title, right? To respond to things that run the whole gamut of responses, right? How do you respond to that sort of thing?
Exactly. Very, very carefully. One of the things that we did immediately was my executive team on my board, which consists of about 5 or 6 people, and started visiting with them on a regular basis and just touching base. One of them serves on the Fayetteville Health Board or serves as a liaison to the health board, so they have direct access to Dr. Sharkey. We were getting information from them. We were getting information from the CDC. And so what I was doing when I would be talking with people is saying, number one, I have no training in medicine. I have no training in epidemiology. That is not my skill set. And so I'm doing the best I can trying to rely on others. We also within our church have a pulmonologist and we have a nurse practitioner who is working on the front lines of this COVID stuff and has been the whole time. And I've leaned very heavily on them. And what I've been able to do is just share with people, especially those who are very anxiety prone, to say, look, we are on top of this. We are following every type of guideline that we can. We're listening to the experts. And we're just doing the best we can to keep people safe. That's the most important thing, is to try to keep people safe. Because at the end of the day, the last thing I want to do is for the church to be a super spreader, or for the church to inadvertently cause somebody to be hospitalized or even die because of this virus.
Pfeiffer has been vaccinated and has encouraged people to get vaccinated, but hasn't explicitly said from behind the pulpit that people should be getting vaccinated.
I'm careful with sermons. Not that my sermons don't deal with very important issues, they do, but some people really see this as very politically driven, and I've always been very careful to not preach politics from the pulpit. Don't mind talking politics one-on-one with people, but from the pulpit, that's a sacred space. But I have talked about, you know, we've got to be sensible, we've got to take care of each other, we've got to be taking the appropriate means to make sure that we're taking care of God's creation, which includes humanity. And so we're not saying that vaccinations are required. We're not even saying that vaccinations are what God is telling us to do, but we're saying they're strongly suggested. And they're suggested because we are community so that we can take care of each other. And this is one way that we can take care of each other.
In one-on-one meetings, Pfeiffer says he's able to be more of a counselor to his community that may have to have hard conversations with others.
I've had several people come to me and say, I'm not really on the fence, but I've got a loved one who is. And can you kind of help me, you know, think through that a little bit? Like I say, we were pretty fortunate in the overwhelming majority of our congregation, as soon as they could get a shot, got a shot.
Narasimhan Rajaman is the secretary of the Hindu Association of Northwest Arkansas. The vast majority of the Hindu community here are Indian Americans.
A lot of the community is experiencing COVID in two different locations, you know, one here and one back home in India, where all of our families are. And the second wave with the Delta variant and all that, you know, that slammed India pretty hard.
The United States and India have been two of the hardest hit countries globally by COVID-19. And Rajaram says that played a significant role in how they came together as a community.
I think I can speak for people in the community in saying last year we had people who had families back home who had either contracted COVID, mild symptoms, or hospitalized and recovered. But I think this with the Delta variant, it seems like there's, you know, everyone knows or everyone has had either family or friend back home who has died due to the Delta variant. So I think, you know, like I said, you know, we're experiencing the pandemic, you know, in two very different locations. And I think that really helps keeps things in perspective.
Rajaram says that within their community, they have doctors and experts in the medical field who have volunteered to host Zoom meetings with those who may have had questions or concerns about the vaccine.
It was an open session. Community was invited to it. And, you know, people were asking all sorts of questions. Hey, what do you think of, you know, side effects due to the vaccine, you know, and those kinds of things. And, you know, the constant, you know, refrain we heard from the doctors was that, you know, the benefits are going to outweigh the risks based on what we know at this point. And so there was gentle encouragement all around, you know, to get it. You know, I think also from speaking from personal experience, I would say a super majority of the people who are here, you know, who came here from India for work and have, who have now settled here for the last 20 to 25 years and who make up, I would say, maybe the majority of the population here, you know, we lived through the polio epidemic back home in India. And, you know, there was like, you know, the government, you know, all through the 80s and the 90s, you know, if you watch television, the ads encouraging the polio vaccine were near constant. You know, I think you would see that at least three or four times during the day, encouraging people to get the polio vaccine. And, you know, India, with a country of about a billion plus people, has, you know, almost completely eradicated polio to the point where it's not an issue anymore. And, you know, a lot of people cite the polio outreach campaign back in the 80s and 90s as one of the singular reasons, you know, for that success. And so the community has a lot of experience with vaccines working and vaccines getting rid of very dangerous diseases. And so that very likely also feeds into the acceptance of the vaccine campaign over here.
Curtis Smith is the pastor of the historic St. James Missionary Baptist Church in Fayetteville. Smith took his role as a community leader promoting the COVID-19 vaccination seriously by offering his church as a space for a mobile vaccine drive in partnership with Walmart.
And so Walmart set up their mobile vaccination units here on our campus, and we were able to vaccinate around 300 people.
Wow, that's fantastic. Do you imagine that the 300 folks who showed up to that maybe wouldn't have shown up if it hadn't been at your church?
I think so. I think that that truly helped by being at the church, because I think what happens to the church in some ways brings some sense of refuge and peace. And that was really the hope and the goal, is to know that as a church that we're not going to lead in the wrong place, although we recognize it is a personal decision for people. But I wanted to show, because myself getting vaccinated, and I did that through our social media pages at church, let them know that, hey, it's okay. It's okay to get vaccinated. I'm doing it. Look, I'm not afraid. I'm not fearful of anything.
Smith is well aware of the historical context of vaccinations in the Black community in America. So for him, he finds that it's supremely important to have conversations with his parishioners around the vaccine, with mixed results.
Honestly, in some cases, I was able to convince them to do it, and in some, I was not able to convince them. They were just pretty much where they are, and they decided this is not what they wanted to do for their own reason. Of course, they have the right to do that. And then, of course, there were some that there was someone close to the community that died, and that provoked them to go get the vaccination because the person was a healthy person, got COVID and died. And so they went ahead and got the vaccination.
The word fear was a common thread through all these religious leaders. In the Bible, one of the most common refrains is, "Fear not, for I am with you." Ryan Pfeiffer, again, the senior minister at First Christian Church in Fayetteville, is currently preaching a sermon series on travel. And during a sermon research, found a surprisingly fitting quote from renowned traveler and public media icon, Rick Steves.
And his quote was, "The opposite of fear is understanding." And I thought, that is beautiful. Why have I not heard that before? I mean, that'll preach right there.
In the New Testament, a scribe asked Jesus, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" Jesus responds, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." Curtis Smith says he's discouraged by how Christians who have been taught their whole lives to care for their neighbor are disregarding the teachings of Jesus in this moment.
You know, I think that it is more defiance than anything else. And I think it's more political than anything else. I don't think they're thinking about their neighbor. I don't think they're thinking about themselves or their families. I think it's turned into this political faux-pas. And that's where, you know, particularly in the evangelical community, they're hanging out in.
For Smith, he feels a responsibility to preach the truth in this life or death matter.
People are dying because they're believing in so many untruths. And that is a burden to me. And particularly from a church standpoint, we ought to be the bearers of truth. And the truth is that you can die with COVID-19. Get the vaccine, you know, if you choose not to, then obviously you operate up under a different premise. And I think when people are faced with life or death, they'll generally choose life over death.
As of July 19th, 98 people have died from COVID-19 in the state of Arkansas just in the month of July. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Matthew Moore.